I'll invite you now to bow your heads with me as we prepare to reflect upon the Christmas message here this evening. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you once again this afternoon, this evening, that we're able to gather together. And we're able to do so in honor of your Son, Jesus, whose birth we are celebrating this day. And as we reflect, Lord, upon the significance of this day, even if this is something, Lord, that we have heard 1,000 times in the course of our lifetime, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to hear it anew. We pray that you would help us to understand it as we never have before, and that you would just fill us with awe at the work of salvation that you have provided for us and accomplished for us in your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. And just to give you a second to stretch, I am going to invite you to stand for just a moment here. I'm going to read for you our scripture lesson, our message, upon which our message is going to be based tonight. And this is from Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You may be seated, and here ends our reading for tonight. After this past year, and especially after missing our Easter worship that ordinarily we have together, let me say I'm glad to be able to gather together with all of you tonight to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And what a joy it is to join together in celebrating an event as important as this one. Now, again, as we were talking during the children's sermon, you know, most of us, we have many celebrations throughout the course of the year. There are many things that we remember. There are many things in which we rejoice. And while some of these are more personal in nature, there are others that are more corporate. They are more widespread. We tend to celebrate many personal events that, you know, they may not be very significant to other people, but they are very significant to us personally. We celebrate, of course, our own birthday. After all, we wouldn't be here without it. We also celebrate the birthdays of our family members and our loved ones because, of course, we're happy that they were born, and we're certainly happy that they're a part of our life. Most of us will celebrate our wedding anniversary. We remember and celebrate that day we were joined together with our spouse. We also celebrate graduations and other milestones that have happened in our own life and also in the lives of those that we care about. But then we also celebrate events that affect more than just ourselves and more than just our immediate family. Almost all of us will celebrate the 4th of July, and of course we do so remembering how our nation declared its independence from Great Britain. We celebrate Veterans Day each year, remembering those who have served in the military to preserve our freedom. We celebrate Thanksgiving each year, remembering the pilgrims who fled England in search of religious freedom, and also in thanksgiving to God for all of the blessings that he has lavished upon us throughout the course of the year. And most of us will also celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day each year in appreciation of our parents and of everything that they have done for us over the course of our lifetime. But Christmas, of course, surpasses all of these other celebrations that we enjoy. It celebrates an event that affects not only us personally, it celebrates an event that affects not only our families and our friends. It celebrates an event that affects not only people who live here in our country, in the United States. It celebrates an event that affects each and every person. It affects people of every race. It affects people of every nation on the face of the earth. And it affects people all throughout time. It marks an event that impacts every man, woman, and child who has ever lived and even who are yet to live. So again, a very significant day. And regardless of their faith, almost everyone can tell you what Christmas is about. Almost everyone can tell you that Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Jesus. However, that being said, few today seem to understand who Jesus is or why his birth is so significant. If we ask people either of these questions, you'll probably get a wide range of answers. For example, if you ask people today who Jesus is, many will tell you that, well, he was a great religious leader. Some will say that he was a great teacher. Some will say that he is a great example for us to follow. Others may go as far as saying that Jesus was a great prophet who brought the word of God to us. But few, in fact, will correctly identify exactly who Jesus is. And in the same way, if you ask people what Christmas is all about, if you ask them why his birth is significant, some will say, well, Christmas is about love. Some people will tell us that Christmas is about generosity. Others will tell us that Christmas is about hope. And while all of those things are true in a sense, it fails to capture the true meaning of the day. And few, again, will fail to few will succeed in truly identifying what it is that we are actually celebrating at Christmas time. And this is why we have so many people around the world today who celebrate Christmas even though they are not Christian. This is why we have so many people around the world who celebrate the birth of a person in whom they don't even believe. This is why we have so many people who celebrate Christmas even though they don't believe in the message of Christmas. For so many people in our society and for so many around the world, the meaning of Christmas, the message of Christmas has been lost. It's been forgotten. Or worse, in some cases, it's been redefined in an effort to rewrite history and to write Jesus out of the holiday altogether. However, as we look at that passage that I read for you a short time ago, we are reminded of what Christmas is truly about. And in that passage from Matthew 1 that I read for you a short time ago, we are seeing these events largely through the eyes of Joseph. We are seeing his thoughts, we're seeing his feelings when it came to Mary and when it came to the events surrounding her pregnancy. And we see what was ultimately revealed to him about this child that she had within her womb and who was soon to be born into the world. Now, if you want to follow along in Matthew 1, we are told that Mary and Joseph were betrothed. Now, as many of you know, betrothal, it's very similar to an engagement as we celebrate them today, but they were different in some respects. And the main difference is that a betrothal is not something that could be easily broken off. When it came to a betrothal, neither the man or the woman could simply change their mind before the day the wedding took place. They couldn't simply give back the ring as we can do today and cancel our dates at the church and with a photographer in order to escape our wedding. The only way that a wedding could be ended, the only way that it could be broken off, a betrothal rather, is by divorce. And in this way we see the couple in a betrothal, they were already committed to one another. Even though the marriage was not yet finalized, even though the wedding was not yet consummated, they were joined together for life. And this is something that we see in the case of Mary and Joseph. They were betrothed, however, before they came together, she was found to be with child. And most of you understand, what this means. Before they had intimate relations, Mary was found to be pregnant. And it's understandable why this would be a problem. Because the people back then, just like people today, knew where babies came from. Because they had never ever seen an exception to this reality, most would have naturally assumed that Mary had done something immoral. At the very least, they would have assumed that she had been violated in some way. However, as we see in this passage, Mary had done nothing wrong. She had not sinned in any way, nor has she been abused or been violated. In fact, as we look at Luke's account of these events, which were read for you a little bit earlier on, we see that Mary was highly regarded by God. We find that she was favored with God. And this means not only that she had found favor with God, but it means that she had found grace with God, or that she had found goodwill with God. And it's safe to say that this would not be the case had Mary been an immoral person. But Matthew, he tells us that she was with child from the Holy Spirit. And so, of course, we learn from this that it was the Spirit of God who had impregnated her. So in other words, her pregnancy did not come about by any natural means. It was a miracle. And this, of course, is why we often refer to her as the Virgin Mary. Even though she was a virgin, she conceived. And even though she was a virgin, she gave birth to the baby Jesus. The fact of her pregnancy is beyond human understanding. It's reason for us to marvel. It's reason for us to stand amazed. Because again, this is the work of God. We see this also in the Gospel of Luke, who shares these events from the perspective of Mary. And in the first chapter of this Gospel, Luke tells us that the angel Gabriel had come to Mary, telling her that she would conceive in her womb and bear a son who was to be named Jesus. And when she asked how this would be, the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Now, of course, we don't see every piece of this picture. We don't know how every detail of these events played out. We don't know, for example, if Mary tried to explain her pregnancy to Joseph, although we would expect that she had, and I can't imagine that it didn't happen at some point. We don't read about an uncomfortable conversation taking place between them at any point in Scripture. But we are told that Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to public shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So he naturally assumed that she had become pregnant in the ordinary way. He assumed that Mary had been unfaithful to him. And as it would be for any of us, it was difficult for him to accept any other explanation of what had taken place. And for this reason, he had planned to end their relationship. But that being said, he also knew the shame that Mary would bear for her pregnancy. He also knew that, according to Jewish law, women who had been unfaithful were to be stoned for adultery. And for this reason, he didn't plan to make a big deal out of it. He had resolved to divorce her quietly. But this is where God intervened. And God intervened to ensure that he did not go through with his plans. He intervened to make sure that Joseph did not divorce her. God stepped in to ensure that Joseph followed through on his commitment to Mary. And he did so by sending an angel to explain to Joseph the circumstances of her pregnancy, along with the identity of this child who was soon to be born. Now again, back in Matthew, we see that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and here is what the angel said. "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So again, the angel explained to Joseph that Mary had not been unfaithful to him in any way. He explained to Joseph that it was the Holy Spirit who had conceived this child within her womb, and for this reason he was not to hesitate to take Mary as his wife. Now in this, Matthew goes on to tell us, in the virgin birth, the prophecy found in Isaiah 7, verse 14, was fulfilled. He had foretold hundreds of years before that the virgin would conceive and bear a son, and that his name would be Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And of course, Jesus is, in every sense, just that. He is God with us. But Joseph, he listened to the words of the angel. He took Mary as his wife. He did everything that the angel had commanded him. So he followed through with a betrothal. He went and he brought Mary into his home as his wife. However, we are told that he had no physical relations with her until she gave birth to a son. Now, the angel also told Joseph that he was to give to this child the name Jesus. He was to give to this child a name which means the Lord is salvation, and he was to do so because this child was going to save the people from their sins. Now, as we read these words, as we see them up here on the screen, most of us, we know the events to which it's referring. We remember how Jesus saved us from our sins. We remember what he did to accomplish our salvation. We remember how, because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, because he is the Son of God, Jesus was not born into sin as you and I are. Jesus did not possess a sinful nature as you and I do. And he was able to live a perfect life. He was able to perfectly keep the law of God. He then suffered and died, not for anything that he had done, but he suffered and died on our behalf. He did so that he might pay the penalty of our sins. And he then defeated the power of death by rising from the grave. And you see, according to Scripture, this is the reason that Jesus came. Even though he did many wonderful things, even though he offered wonderful teaching, and even though he performed countless miracles, which were meant to reveal his identity to the people, and to reveal to us that he is in fact the Christ, the Son of God, these were not the primary reason that he came. He was quite literally born to die. He came into the world, he was born into the world, that he might serve as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And as I shared with the kids a short time ago, this is the reason why we celebrate his birth. This is why Christmas is such a major holiday for us as believers in Jesus. We celebrate him because of the salvation that he provided for us. We celebrate Jesus because salvation is found in him. We celebrate his birth because he came to save us from our sin. Now again, for many of you, this may not seem like anything new. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, it may be a truth that you have heard repeated to you 1,000 times in the course of your life. But no matter how many times we have heard these truths expressed to us, this is something that's a very big deal. And this is something that's a very big deal because, first of all, we are not the good people that we often believe ourselves to be. According to the Word of God, we are sinners. We are sinners who deserve nothing other than the wrath of God. We are born in sin, and being born in sin, we commit acts of sin each and every day of our lives. As the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And as we read these words, it's clear that they're talking about us because they are completely inclusive, right? They refer to all of us. No one is excluded from what is being shared here. The fact of Jesus' birth is also a big deal because we are unable to save ourselves. No matter how hard we try to love God, no matter how hard we try to love those who surround us on a day-to-day basis, And no matter how hard we strive to live up to the standards that God has set for us, none of our efforts and none of our good works can do anything to save us. The simple fact of the matter is that we are guilty. The simple fact of the matter is that we deserve the judgment of God. And so if we are to be saved, it's something that can only be received as a gift. As the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." And this is also a big deal because there is no salvation apart from Jesus. There is nothing and no one else in all of creation who can save us. There is no other faith that can save us. There is no other religion to which we have turned. There is no philosophy that can change this reality. As Jesus himself tells us in John 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in the same way, there is no one else who can pay the penalty of our sin. There is no one else who can rescue us from our deserved fate. As we read in Hebrews 10, starting in verse 12, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." Everyone else, you see, who has ever been born, they are a sinner just like the rest of us. And for this reason, just like the rest of us, they deserve death and hell. And so the only penalty that they can pay is their own. Apart from Jesus, we are lost. Apart from Jesus, we're forever lost. We're dead in our sin. And apart from Jesus, we are destined to spend eternity suffering the wrath of God. We're destined to spend eternity separated from God and from his blessings in hell. But God, of course, he loved us so much that he was not satisfied. He was not content to leave us to our deserved fate. He loved us enough that he did not leave us to death in hell. As Jesus himself tells us in the third chapter of John, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So if it were not for this event, there would be nothing for us to celebrate at Christmas time. If it were not for this, the day that we are gathering together to celebrate, it would be without meaning. And sadly, this is the case for so many in the world today. And I know there are many people around the world today who enjoy Christmas, and they enjoy it apart from faith in Jesus. They enjoy the decorations, they enjoy the music, they enjoy the traditions, they enjoy the festivities, and they enjoy giving and receiving gifts. But in reality, they are only celebrating for the sake of celebrating. Christmas for them is nothing more than an excuse to have a party. And for this reason, they miss out on the blessings that Jesus was born to bestow. They miss out on his forgiveness. They miss out on his salvation. And they miss out on life everlasting. So as we then begin our Christmas celebrations with our families, with our friends here tonight, let us begin by remembering what it is that we are celebrating. Let us begin by thanking God for the birth of his Son, our Savior. And let us begin by trusting in him again for the salvation that he came to bring. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for the chance to reflect upon these truths. And even though, Lord, for many of us, these truths are very familiar, they are truths that we have heard again and again. We pray that you would work them anew in our hearts. Help us to understand the significance of Jesus, who he is, and help us to understand, Lord, the significance of the day, what Jesus came to accomplish. And may we evermore place our trust in him. May we evermore place our trust in his sacrifice and in his promise, that we might receive the blessings that he was born to bestow. And we ask this all in his name. Amen.